Listen to WGN Radio's newest podcast, Behind the Badge, Illinois, hosted by David Hochberg. Behind the Badge, Illinois views current events through the eyes of Illinois law enforcement leaders. Tune in. Visit WGNradio.com/behindthebadge.
Thinking big thoughts, so you don't have to.
I got a tweet.
Here's John Williams.
You're going to like it. This is John. We're in the Skyline Studio. We're 18 stories above downtown Chicago. It's a nice view, but I'll tell you, it's not 100 stories high. There's a building going up next to us that'll be the second tallest building in Chicago. Do you know about this one? The engineer behind that thing is going to say hi to us in about an hour from now. What a fascinating conversation. Some 80 stories up, they've actually got just a breezeway through the building so that instead of having high-end condo space, they're just going to have it open and the wind will blow through. They say that will reduce the sway. As a rule, I don't like to live in buildings that sway a lot. They've got 400,000 gallons of water in tanks at the top of the building to also minimize the sway so that when the building leans one way, the water sort of swishes the other and that sort of balances it out, left, right, back, forth.
This sounds like a reoccurring nightmare that I have.
I know. And, you know, a lot of radio people, I don't know, have you done this before, Lauren Lapka, work in really tall buildings, traffic people, news people.
Mm-hmm.
Sometimes there's offices. I mean, we're on the 18th floor, but some people who have historically done traffic in this town are in the Hancock building way up in the air or in the old Sears Tower. And I'm sure I'd be fine, but I don't think I'd love it either. Is that your fear? Do you not want to be in a tall building?
Well, I just have weird nightmares sometimes where I'm living or working in a skyscraper and they start to sway and they eventually fall over. And it's terrifying.
It's weird because in the article about it, Blair Kamen, the Pulitzer Prize winning architecture columnist for the Tribune, wrote about this a couple of Sundays ago. And in part, it says, the guy literally says, so the building won't fall down. I said, don't even say that.
Making us think about all the other buildings we're in. Like, so these are going to fall?
But
these could fall? Other
ones, not so sure.
Oh, gosh.
I mean, literally, I'm thinking, if I was a guy that was designing these things and you're going real high up in the sky like that, you think, okay, we better be right. Hey, Bob, we better be right. Particularly since this one doesn't look like a good idea. It's designed so curvy and wavy, you think, hey, fellas, that's not going to hold up. It's going to hold up. We'll talk about that a little after 2 o'clock. Kanye West gave a service of religious sorts slash concert. A friend of ours here was there, plus Rhymefest was there as well. They'll both say hi to us and break it down at 2:35. Kanye's concert religious service at Northerly Island over the weekend. Hey, by the way, so the buttons are going to be issued by the CTA for pregnant women now. Is that correct?
That's starting today or tomorrow. Tomorrow.
There was a story last week, and again, I think this was also in the Chicago Sun Crimes, and it said the women are tired of waiting for the CTA to get off the dime on this. We've been talking about it all year long. So somebody else just started cranking out buttons, and they were going to make them available. A woman and her friend did 1,000 of them. They said, we'll do 5 or 10,000 if needed, but it was four figures worth of buttons.
Yes. Okay, so that's the Mom Project. They're going to be at Clark and Lake tomorrow. The CTA is distributing theirs starting today.
All right, I have a million-dollar observation about that.
What's that?
Well, let me play a quick break. We'll come back and do it. And I also wanted to just cast a little light, not shade, on both what Senator Durbin and Senator Duckworth from Illinois have in mind. Good ideas, but really, are they that good after this? Incidentally, I started just talking a little bit about a tweet. Steve Bertrand put out one over the weekend. He was upset with the self-service kiosk that USPS has.
Okay, that's another part of my life. We don't need to keep beating up how bad the self-service kiosks are for the post office.
Sometimes I think that kind of tweeting serves a purpose.
Well, that's exactly why I did it, because I copied him hoping that they would see it.
And sometimes I don't feel that way. My tweet was about the game between the Washington Nationals and the Atlanta Braves. Did you see this? It's the happiest thing you've ever seen on a baseball field. Happiest might not be the right word.
I did not see it.
There's this guy named Asdrubal Cabrera. He's a utility infielder for the Atlanta Braves. He catches a throw at second base and forces the runner out. The runner sliding in is this guy named Freddie Freedman, and he's the first baseman for the Braves. But Cabrera drops the ball on the transfer to his throwing hand, and then he picks it right back up. So there's a question about whether or not the runner's safe or out. The runner is out. But as that runner, this first baseman, Fred Freeman, is sitting on first base for a second, and he sees that Cabrera's picked the ball back up, he then reaches out and slaps it out of Cabrera's hand. And Cabrera then takes his mitt and smacks Freeman on the helmet. And then Freeman, having just now been smacked on the head with the glove, reaches up and smacks at the ball a second time. And then Cabrera smacks him back again in the helmet. And then Freeman reaches up a third time. Cabrera grabs his hand, helps him up, and Freeman drops off the field. There's no words exchanged between the two of them, and it's this little slappy patty cake game that they play for just a second. Only a slight smile crosses Freeman's face.
I did see that. It was great, yeah.
It's like, oh my God, it's a game. Oh, that's right, it's a game.
It was Javi Baez-like.
It was truly that. It was truly that.
Sounds like a Three Stooges thing.
It was a little bit of, I mean, it was a little shtick, and it made me happy, but it was an appropriate reminder that while these games are important, we're 4.5 behind the Cardinals and all that jazz, it's a game. They enjoy playing it, we enjoy watching
it. Yeah, and they're just not that important anymore.
Oh, they may be important. I mean, listen, we are
only
still
for their second wild card spot.
We are still in the hunt, dog. Incidentally, when I say we, talking about the Cubs, Carol and a few others on the staff here get on my case in the hallways. They go, John, you said we. No, you're Mr. White Sox now. You're the big White Sox fan. So some of us who are still hanging on with our friendship to the Cubs don't necessarily want me in the club now. But I live with a bunch of Cubs fans, so I still say we. So these buttons that the women are going to be wearing, Jen's in our studio, Steve's in the newsroom, on CTA, I guess I'm not exactly sure how you get these buttons. Are you?
There's various ways. So the CTA will have them at their headquarters, which is in the West Loop. But they are also putting them at obstetricians and gynecologist offices in a basket and at various hospitals around the city. So if there is a pregnant woman that goes to her doctor on the north side, she can grab one out of the basket and wear it on her red line trip back.
And they say baby on board?
Yeah, it's a profile. The profile is facing the side on the button, so you can see, like, the woman has a hump in her belly, and it says, baby on board, may we sit down, or can we have a seat? So, you know, a lot of times you can't tell if a woman's pregnant.
224 texted in, John Williams, if you haven't announced today's news click, what do you think of baby on board button? Would be interesting to see the results. Personally, I think this is ridiculous. I think it's a fine idea, but I don't think it's going to be a game changer for two reasons. Either there is a seat available or there isn't. My experience on the red line, mm-hmm. and that's probably the most traveled L in the system, is that even if you did see the button, we are so crammed in there like sardines, there's nothing I could do about it.
Yeah.
And most of the people won't see the button because I would say literally 80%+ of the people have their noses in their phones.
Yeah,
They're not looking up. They don't look up. You could be on fire, and they would not notice it.
It's not even just the noses in the phones. It's the earbuds in the ear. So their sight and their hearing
they're checked out.
Yeah.
So I can just see this lady now getting on with her, hey, I could use a hand here, folks, button.
Mm-hmm.
And I think the sort of reset for all of us on this story is, well, that's because people are terrible. And people really aren't terrible. They just, the public transportation is not a shared experience. Everybody's in their own silo, and they won't notice it. So maybe now what happens is with the button, you tap somebody, and they look up, and they see the button, and then they get up. But again, that's assuming that you're close enough to each other that, you know, you would actually, well, I guess if you're tapping them, you would be right there. But if I saw you with a button, you might be 2 or 3, 4, 5, 10 feet away,
mm-hmm.
there's no way I can get to you because the thing is just jammed full of people. There's no movement.
Exactly. Yeah. And then also, if you're wearing a button and you tap somebody, hey, may I have your spot? You risk that person getting really grumpy with you.
But, well, this is supposed to mitigate that, right?
It's supposed to.
Because I really do think most people, if they do I suppose for that small percentage of people who do notice the lady with the button and they're close enough and there's no seats, mm-hmm. I think it will work. Mm-hmm. I think it will work. Don't you?
I like the idea of a button because I am never going to assume a woman is pregnant. That is just one mistake that you don't want to make. It's happened to me quite a few times, but it's just a burrito, you know, and you don't want to just assume, oh, maybe she's got a little bit of extra weight, just that she holds it in her belly, and then you get into that hole. So the buttons are great because at least it shows you, like, hey, this woman might need to sit. She might have been carrying around an extra person for the past 6 hours on her feet.
Ladies, isn't the worst, I mean, except for the discomfort of being large, I think the morning sickness, you feel the worst that first trimester when you're not that visible.
Exactly, yeah. So being jostled around on a train.
Maybe the button is a good idea. I just don't see it as a game changer. I'll give you another example of something that I think is a good idea, but it's probably not a game changer. Tammy Duckworth, our senator, just co-signed a piece of legislation. It's a bill, not a law yet, but it will mandate that school buses have 3-point safety belts for all of the kids.
Oh, nice.
That'll be a cost of up to $10,000 per bus, and it'll cost even more if it's an old bus that they have to retrofit. And I'm not for putting kids in harm's way, but the following virtually never happens. Kids are in a school bus crash and they get hurt because they don't have seat belts. That just does not happen.
I've been in 2 school bus crashes in my life. Actually, 3, but we're not going to consider the third one very
significant. That is the exception. That just doesn't happen. I mean, I've got the statistics here. I don't mean to minimize what you went through, but the incidence is, it's about, here, nationwide. Now, this article is dated 2017. But I don't suppose in 2 years this dynamic has changed that much. Nationwide, only 6 school-age passengers die in bus crashes each year, according to the National Highway Traffic Safety Administration. So I just think, okay, I guess that's a good idea. But to me, it's the sort of feel-good legislation that really doesn't do anything except now put a $10,000 per school bus a tax on local school districts. Every school, if your school district has 20 buses, that's $200,000 they're going to have to come up with to put safety belts on there.
It's just very interesting that we require children to be in safety seats or up to the age of 12 in the back seat, but yet on a school bus, there's absolutely nothing to help hold them in.
The school buses are designed, according to the same article I read that I didn't share with you, so that the seats are close together. Have you ever noticed that? There's not a lot of leg room. The kids are small, and they have high backs.
Yes.
And a lot of them are padded. And the idea, they says, is to put kids in the seats like milk, like eggs in egg cartons, because they could bounce a little bit, they could rattle a little bit, but by and large, kids don't even get hurt.
I brought this up years ago, and that's what came out of the conversation, was that the buses are actually designed to not have seat belts, that the kids are almost safer without them in there.
Well, because here's the thing I am worried about, and I don't believe this for those of us in cars, but if there was some sort of traumatic accident, I'm worried about the kids being able to undo the seat belts and get out.
Mm-hmm.
And so pick your poison, right? I mean, in some instance, maybe it would be terrible if the kids weren't buckled in, but I can imagine a couple of them where it might be terrible if they are.
Well, as somebody who's been in a couple of school bus accidents.
So what was yours?
So one was when I was really young, I don't know, 6 or 7, maybe. It was on the Kennedy Expressway, and I don't know what happened, an axle bent or something on the school bus, but we ended up lodged up against the wall of an exit ramp in the downtown area on the Kennedy Expressway, and the bus was kind of on an angle. If that wall wasn't there, we would have fallen on our side. But to what you were saying, none of the kids were hurt. There was a couple of adults that had some injuries, and one of the adults had busted an eardrum. But then several years later, I think I was 15 or 16, it was on the Stevenson, and we smashed into another car, and all the kids were safe. It, you know, wasn't something that was...
Not so good for the car, probably.
Not at all. Yeah, and everybody lived, but still, it was a very nice car that
I don't mind the car getting beat up. Was the person okay?
The people that I know of in that situation were okay. It was, you know, somebody was weaving in and out and cut the back end, hit the front of the school bus.
That's what I always hope for those people. The people that are driving like lunatics, weaving in and out, making life dangerous for the rest of us. Mm-hmm. I always want them in a car crash, really bad, solo vehicle where nobody gets hurt.
Yeah.
Oh, hooray. Well, I'm glad they were okay, but the car was banged up.
Car was not.
Okay. Well, having said all of that, it's 128. Did you see that Amazon has a career day September 17th? They're going to hire full-time 30,000 people. And in Chicago, there's a handful of cities that are going to be doing the hiring. Chicago is one of them. So what kind of jobs? What do they pay? When do you start? What should you do after the news? Jen, thanks for swinging into the studio.
Anytime.
Okay, just for that.
At 74 at Chicago's Lakefront.
I'll tell you, the outlier there is that 69 in Elgin. Hey, Steve Bertrand?
It's been so long.
77 and 59 feels like a fall day. Hey, let's go ahead and guess one more temperature.
I didn't say 77.
You said 77 and 59.
Okay.
Try and track with me, Steve.
So what's your question?
About to triangulate a temperature for you. Give me one other town and I'll tell you what it's going to be.
Lake Michigan water temperature.
You said I couldn't do this, but I can. It's been unusually warm lately.
You've been taking dips, too.
I was in it yesterday.
Right. You know, when we say go jump in the lake, it's freeze. I like talk radio when they talk
about things. Let's talk about things. All right, 74, 75, 69. What was that last air temperature you gave me?
74 at the lakefront.
74 at the lakefront. Water temperature?
Mm-hmm.
Will you give me plus or minus 1 degree on either side?
No.
80 degrees, final answer.
I'm Steve Bertrand. These are the stories, 80 degrees.
80
that matter.
Degrees is correct.
On 720. it's really, I just hate it. WGN.
I'll be playing that back throughout the rest of my career here.
You know, we learned last week it's illegal, apparently, to give out false weather information. Yeah, what a dream. Like we were scientists, a preteen, whimsy like. So I'd appreciate it if you'd stop.
Some of those temperatures were dated.
Yeah, but you're making me part of a crime by playing my old temperature readings.
That's just a fun sort of flashback to a cute little bit we did a couple of weeks ago where I guessed the temperature of the water correctly. They said it couldn't be done. Our texts include these from the last half hour's conversation. John, years ago, I was on a school bus trip, and I asked the bus driver, why don't you have seatbelts on a school bus? His response was, when they put parachutes in airplanes, we'll put seatbelts on school buses. 708 said, John, the baby on board buttons for pregnant women on the CTA will be abused, just like handicapped parking. 630, how about going forward, they could add the seatbelts to new buses and not retrofit the old ones, which I guess makes financial sense, but it's tough luck if your kid's on one of the older ones, right? 219, school bus travel is one of the safest modes of transportation. The numbers do bear that out. John Duckworth is a typical Democrat, spending money that's not there. 708 said, how many people do you think will take one of those baby on board buttons just to get a seat on public transportation? Let's all answer that question. I think zero. I don't think anybody, certainly no men, and I don't think women will take those buttons and abuse them.
I think fewer than zero, actually. I think there'll be a negative number.
In fact, I think people won't wear them because they don't want to have that passive-aggressive badge. I think if that's where you're going, I would agree with you. I don't know if it's passive-aggressive, but you know what I mean? 608, John, seatbelts on school buses. How quickly is the first bus driver going to be sued for injury when a child is unbuckled on his bus? I'm sorry you're thinking that way, but you may be onto something.
Do you think people in general are as negative as the texters, or just texters are negative?
You guys are on a roll. John, it also gives the driver another task of making sure that all of the belts are buckled at each bus stop. 224, I'll read this one. King John, you inspire me. Wait, you haven't heard what I said that inspired this person.
Mm-hmm.
I want to create a button that says, I'm on fire, may I have your seat? My observation earlier was that people are so wrapped up in their phones, you could be on fire, they wouldn't notice. So that's it. I'm smoldering. I'm on fire. Could I have your seat?
I'm burning.
John, my concern about pregnancy button would be the abuse of non-pregnant people. And get a load of this. Better plan would be to have women-only sections like they do in Japan.
Oh?
Japan has women-only sections on the trains? Might keep the groping down. And some other texts as well. Hey, did you see that Amazon is hiring and the number is 30,000 people? The centers include Chicago, so I've got a lot of questions like, what do they pay? How do I apply September 17th? Are these full-time? Is it just loading trucks and conveyor belts, or are there other jobs as well? Ardeen Williams is the Amazon Vice President of Workforce Development, and she joins us to talk about Amazon Career Day. Ardeen, it's John Williams. You're on WGN in Chicago. How are you?
I'm well, John Williams. Great to speak with you.
Are you in Chicago, or is this a national office and you're out west?
I am actually in our office in Arlington, Virginia.
Oh, I see. Okay, good. So just tell me a little bit about this. 30,000 is correct, and where are you hiring?
So we have 30,000, more than 30,000 full-time roles open across the United States. And today we're announcing Amazon Career Day, which is a series of six events on the 17th. In regions across the U.S. to help job seekers connect with their next opportunity. And Chicago is one of those cities.
Where will it be in Chicago?
In Chicago, we will be at the Veriport.
Veriport. All right, I got to look that up. Veriport. That's maybe one of your facilities. I'm not familiar with Veriport. I know you're in Virginia. Do you know exactly where that is?
It's the Veriport hangar.
That still doesn't help me, but I'm going to look that up. That's almost beside the point here. I want to know more about the jobs, and then we'll find it in a minute. But so tell me what kind of jobs we're talking about.
In the 30,000 jobs, they range from our entry-level positions, which are in our customer fulfillment network that pay a minimum wage of $15 an hour and include robust benefits from day one and access to upskilling, all the way to jobs for folks who may be recent graduates of a college program, software development engineer, solution architect. In the Chicago area, some examples of roles we have open include solutions architect, database migration consultant. We have area operations managers, advertising account managers, quite a wide variety. In fact, I would say that we probably have a role for just about everyone.
If the minimum is, do I hear you correctly, the minimum is $15 an hour?
That's correct. And our minimum wage across the country is $15 an hour.
And what's the range then if I was applying for one of these jobs? What's it up to?
So the range, so again, that entry level is $15 an hour, and at our tech hubs, we typically average around $150,000 a year.
Yeah. What are the benefits like? Can you expand on that a little bit?
You bet. We offer robust benefits, and they're the same for folks who work in our customer fulfillment network as they are for our executives. We have egalitarian benefits that include full health, dental, vision, pharmacy, and up to 20 weeks of parental leave.
What sort of requirements are you looking for? Is it like I might imagine, college degrees preferred over not college degree? Work in the field is favored over not work in the field?
I think it depends on the role. I mean, in some cases, a college degree is preferred. In some cases, comparable experience works really well. We hire a significant number of veterans into tech, for example, who have experience in similar fields in the military. And again, working in the field is great. I think the question is, do you have the skills and capabilities to do the role?
In those $15 an hour jobs, I mean, I have in mind a giant warehouse and people are moving packages around, loading things. Is there a facility like that in Chicago?
Not in Chicago per se, but we do have dozens of customer fulfillment facilities across the state.
So when I'm if I go to the job fair in Chicago, am I applying for jobs that are in the Chicago area, or might I end up having a job in Nashville or something like that?
So the event next week is actually a career day, so we aren't focusing on applications on that day. It's really an opportunity for people to get to know more about Amazon, to learn about the roles that are open. In the Chicago event, they can certainly learn about the jobs that are open either in the local area or in the broader state, or if they're interested in roles in other communities, they can investigate those as well. But we'll have workshops that'll help people with their resume, work on interview skills, and there'll be both recruiters and business folks available to talk about what it's like to work for the company.
I got it. So to be clear then, I don't need to wear a suit and tie or be ready to have my resume in hand because you're not actually taking applicants at this event. It's more telling people about the jobs.
That's absolutely right. And we'd be surprised to see anybody in a suit and tie when they interview with us, frankly.
Well, I have seen lines like that before. Maybe it was at Amazon or someplace else, and the person so wanted to put their best foot forward, they have a jacket on. They maybe are going to be face-to-face with the person who's going to green light their application. So I respect that, but you need not do that at this event. When will the jobs actually then get fulfilled? When are you going to actually hire people?
Well, the jobs are open today, and you can go out to amazon.jobs/career day and take a look at the roles that are open. And if someone is really interested and sees the perfect fit, can apply now. So these are as of today jobs that are open.
Got it. So is it fair to say then that at any given time, or at least at this very moment, the 30,000 jobs about which we speak are there? This event
they
is
are.
Just to tell you about them and how maybe to best apply what you're getting yourself into.
That's right. And also, as I said, to talk to folks who currently work for the company and learn more about the interview process. It's really an opportunity for people to learn more about Amazon and to get ready when they decide to apply.
Now, Amazon is also Whole Foods. Is that right?
Whole Foods is part of Amazon, yes.
And are there other arms of the Amazon empire for which you guys are giving information that you're looking for applicants, or is this just Amazon per se?
This is really Amazon per se. The Whole Foods jobs aren't represented in the career day.
Okay, good. Anything else you think I should know? This is helpful. And by the way, I did find the address. So the Vertiport is at 1339 South Wood Street, 1339 South Wood, which I think is downtown. But look it up, Vertiport, V-E-R-T-I-P-O-R-T, Chicago. That place is at 1339 South Wood Street in Chicago, 60608, amazon.com/career day.
Okay. So we would love to see folks there. We'll be there from 11:30 a.m. to 7 p.m. on the 17th, and would love to talk with folks there and encourage them, as you said, to go to the website amazon.jobs/career day and explore and learn more about what's available.
Did I get the URL wrong? Amazon.jobs or amazon.com?
It's .jobs.
Oh, I didn't know that was a suffix, if you will. I didn't know that was a site. amazon.jobs/career day. Really helpful, Ardeen. I appreciate your time. Thanks for joining us.
Hey, thanks for having me, and I'll look forward to seeing you next week.
Yeah, no kidding. Well, maybe me. I got a job, but 30,000 jobs are sitting right there. Ardeen Williams, $15 an hour, Amazon vice president. So I found 1339 South Wood, if you didn't know, but it's south of the Eisenhower. If you were going into the city on the Ike, you'd go 290 to South Damon or 290 to Ashland, and then you'd turn right, you'd go south. And just south of Roosevelt, in between Ashland and Damon, is a large area. And it's at 1339 South Wood, if you want to check that out on the 17th. Find out more about the job fair for jobs that are already posted at Amazon. Some people say they don't have much knee pain. They say, oh, I'm fine. Only hurts when I walk or bend over or breathe. You know, I'm fine. You've heard those people before. I want you to make a call for yourself, if you're that person, or maybe them, if you know who that person is, to the Joint Relief Institute. Here's their phone number, 708-888-0000, 708-888-0000, as in zero pain. Oh, and this, if you need new windows or doors for your home, call the company recommended by our Lou Manfredini, Mr. Fix-It of House Smarts Radio. Call Gilkey Windows. Gilkey manufactures the highest quality vinyl and fiberglass windows in an endless variety of styles and colors. Call Gilkey now. For a limited time, you buy one, you get one 40% off on fiberglass or vinyl windows and doors, and no interest financing at Gilkey for up to 5 years. Call Gilkey, 888-3-GILKEY, 888-3-GILKEY. Steve, I'm still getting texts about seatbelts on school buses and baby on board buttons for pregnant women on the CTA. John, many people have disabilities that might not be obvious to other people. Giving pregnant women a break is nice, but lots of the rest of us who aren't pregnant might need the seat more than they do. 630, no good idea doesn't get punished in America these days. 630, every school bus has a seatbelt cutter, one per bus. The cutter will cut three belts. A driver would have to carry a lot if the bus is full. John, your guess meant to say vertiport, not veriport. It's the heliport off South Halstead. And I just told you where it is. John, the only women in cars in Japan are the women-only cars in Japan are because the groping problem got so bad they needed a safe way to go to and from work. That's what I thought. I wasn't kidding when I said, well, it might keep the groping down. My understanding is, I don't know how that culture got that way. And I'm not saying it's okay, but it seems to be more common in Japan for men squeezed into their version of the CDA to just give somebody a little squeeze here and there. How did that happen? It's 155. Hey, Debbie, you're on WGN. This is John. What can I do for you?
Hi, King John. My name is Debbie. I'm from Arlington Heights. I'm a mom of five and a grandma of five. In 1988, I was on the Higgins bus with my 2 and 4-year-old at the time. I was also about 8 months pregnant, and I had 2 little shopping bags with me. I didn't have a car. I still didn't have a car after 4 kids. I've rode the bus so many times with them. I had gotten on the Higgins bus, and the only seats available on the bus were the first two to the left when you got onto the bus, which were handicapped or disabled. So I put my 2 and my 4-year-old there, and I was standing holding the post. And as I looked around, I saw a whole bunch of men. They all kind of looked at me. And finally, an old lady about 80 years old stood up and gave her seat to me, and she shamed every man that were on the bus about giving up their seat. And she said, well, whatever happened to men being men? I don't think we need a button to teach men, you know, especially now, common courtesy. Even my son, who's now 30, who I was carrying at the time is 30, would give up his seat. He holds doors for women. I don't think we need a button to teach just courtesy.
What a well-put call. I'm sorry to hear that. I'm glad you called, Debbie. I do think chivalry is a lost, not only art, but I also think the business of being chivalrous has changed based on what women expect from men and men expect their obligation is of women.
Wasn't chivalry based on the fact that men thought women were...
Don't go there.
Helpless.
You told me not to read that text earlier.
Well, wasn't
Steve?
It like that they were treated like objects and were helpless, couldn't act on their own?
You make no friends with this academic pursuit of yours.
Only asking the question.
Linda, you're on WGN Radio. Hello.
Hello. After the buses get fitted with the seatbelts, now you have the cost of an extra staff or the bus driver having to go and make sure everyone's buckled in. And they may have to turn off the vehicle and take their keys with them. So now the routes are going longer. The kids have to be picked up earlier. Or they put an extra staff person on.
Yeah, I don't think this is such a slam dunk. Tammy Duckworth and a representative, I think it's from Tennessee. It's bipartisan. She's the Democrat. He's the Republican. Have moved legislation along that would require school buses like the ones we have in Illinois to put 3-point harness seatbelts for every child on the bus. And we're not all loving it. Thanks for the phone call, Linda.
You're welcome.
Have a good day. It's 158. And some of you are. I'm just saying that I don't think this thing's the slam dunk that she might have thought it is. Oh, by the way, Teddy Saves America is the title of our next Teddy Roosevelt show. I'm going to tell you about that after the news. And also David Fields will join us, a senior principal at Magnuson Clemenisikic, it's an engineering firm and associates. He's one of the guys that was involved in the designing of what is going to be the second tallest building in Chicago. It's going up right next to ours. Blair Kamen wrote about it a couple of Sundays ago. This building is fascinating. You will love hearing about how Chicago continues to be on the vanguard of architecture and design in this country after the news.
Thinking big thoughts. So you don't have to.
Looks to me,
here's John Williams,
like someone's got a case of the Mondays. Our techs are just, we're not in a good mood. As a city, I don't think we're happy today. Now, it could be that summer's over. The Cubs might not make the playoffs. We didn't have any football this weekend, and that may be just as well because the Bears were embarrassing on Thursday. We need to smile. Don't make me do a special episode of the Bright Side of Life segment.
We really haven't had football all year, right? When
Northwestern hasn't played a home game yet.
NFL. Yeah.
And the NFL was...
The Bears only played one game in January, right? Or did they play two?
Well, are you just rubbing it in?
I'm just trying to be specific.
The and in fact, over the weekend, the Vikings, by the way, looked terrific. They're going to win some football games, and they're in our division, so that's not good for us. And then the national game last night, the nighttime game, was the New England Patriots and the Pittsburgh Steelers, and that was a real boring game. Ugh.
And they didn't even have Antonio Brown yet. We're all screwed.
That Antonio Brown story's off the chain.
It's ridiculous. It's kind of annoying, to be honest.
If I come home and tell my, if I come home and say, Brenda, listen, I've stood up for our rights, and so I'm not going to take the $30 million, I would be in so much trouble. But he's all about autonomy, and I heard an interview or discussion about what he did. You know, first he was fighting the football helmet, then he was fighting his contract, then he got mad at the owner, and then finally they said, you know what, as good as you are, somebody else can have you. So then the, of all teams, Patriots pick him up, right?
So it'll be interesting to see how that works out, because the Patriots don't tend to be a team to let actors act that way, right?
Maybe this is what he's wanted all along, and he's got a one-year deal with a national championship caliber team. You know what his son's name is, though, just because the story in part is about, you know, his being dumb, if you ask me, but also his being self-empowerment. He wants to control his destiny. And for athletes in the NFL, it's difficult to do. His son's name is Autonomy. How about them apples?
By the way, John, you forgot to mention the whole frostbite situation as well.
I don't know the frostbite story.
The frostbite on his feet because he went to get that, like, chirogenic, what do they call it?
I heard the chirogenic stuff and didn't find, I didn't know the whole He got...
So he's just like had something constantly going
on. It's always, and you know, Bill Belichick, he loves It's Always Something. So maybe this will work out for him. Did Randy Moss play for the New England Patriots at one point in his career or no?
Yes, I believe that is accurate.
I mean, he was a high maintenance guy, but by and large, they say, you know, we'll get everything we can out of you, if I recollect correctly. Listen to this story from Blair Kamen in the Chicago Tribune. It was a couple of Sundays ago, and it was, of course, Blair Kamen-ish, brilliant and thoughtful and well-reported. The headline was, Vista Tower Tour Reveals Engineering Secrets That Hold Up Chicago's Latest Skyline Standout. He was on the 83rd floor of Chicago's then-under-construction Vista Tower. It still is under construction. He says the view there is to die for. He said it's going to remain empty, though, that 83rd floor of this new building going up next to the one we're in right now. It's going to remain empty, even though a unit there would likely sell for $10 million. The floor will be covered by a screen-like perimeter wall that lets Chicago's famous winds whip right through the space. This so-called blow-through floor, the first of its kind in Chicago, is expected to dramatically cut wind-induced sway. Lauren Lapka's now grabbing her tummy. Chandeliers in the condominiums above and below won't rattle. White caps won't appear in the toilets. Residents won't reach for motion sickness pills as they have in other tall buildings. This will be, Kamen says, Chicago's third tallest building. Think about our landscape now, right? You've got Hancock and Sears, or whatever they call them these days. You've got the Trump Tower. You've got Aon. This will be Chicago's third tallest building when it opens next year. Designed by Chicago star architect Jeannie Gang, it's also going to be the world's tallest building, designed by a woman. You've probably heard that. It's got that wavy surface. It's 101 stories tall, 1,191-foot tall skyscraper. And this is fascinating. Kamen says six tanks tucked in the tower's top will hold more than 400,000 gallons of water. When the wind pushes the tower one way, the water will slosh in the opposite direction, joining the blow-through floor to counteract sway. I've got more details about it, but rather than me read Kamen, let's talk to somebody they quote in there. One of the designing engineers, a senior principal at Magnuson, and then I think it's Klemenek. David Fields joins us. David, you're on WGN in Chicago. How are you?
Hi, John. I'm doing well. Thanks for having me on.
Likewise. What's the name of your firm? I'm struggling with that second one.
Sure. It's Magnuson Clemensic Associates.
Got it. Okay. And so then what is a senior principal? That's you. Are you an engineer by trade?
Yes, yes. So we're, everyone here essentially is a structural engineer. So the folks designing it, which included a very large team from top to bottom, we're trained structural engineers, and that's our role, working in this case closely with Jeannie Gang and her team to put together this super tall building.
Yeah. Listen, you don't need any advice from me. I'm a broadcaster by trade, but I'm worried about 400,000 gallons of water in a tank because I have a 2-gallon flush toilet and that leaks. The 400,000 up there just makes me nervous. Do you worry about stuff like that?
Well, you know, these are some of the highest quality buildings in the world, how they're built and put together. I mean, that's no doubt a lot of water. But the whole outside of this building, you have to think, is exposed to the elements on a daily basis. And you know, our the general contractor who built it, MEQ Construction, is they're building it, so we're not worried.
I wonder, when somebody like Jeannie Gang draws up this building, does somebody tell her, yes, that can be done, or no, that can't be done? Do the engineers first say, here's the parameters, and then draw whatever you want? Or because otherwise, I could be an architect. I could design a loop-de-doop-de-whoop-de building, but maybe then someone would come along and go, yeah, it's a beautiful building. It can't be done. I mean, how does that work?
Well, you know, smart architects and smart teams, as Jeannie Gang and Studio Gang architects are, they know for extreme architecture in very tall buildings, you can't simply work alone. You have to bring in the experts early, and that's not just the structural trade, it's a lot of other trades, to devise the system and how it goes from the beginning. So, frankly, we've been working on the project over 10 years, first sketch concepts.
Really?
How could we make a building like this work? Yeah.
You call this extreme buildings?
Yeah, you know, there's many different definitions in the trade, but
what
a building
of
this height is in the super tall category, let's call it.
That's what makes it extreme, the height. I mean, the curse, because sometimes buildings, we have one downtown at Wolf Point, and it looks like it's going to fall over at any second now. And I'm sure that's just an optical illusion, or that the support and weight are in the center, and you've got this lopsided area, and you think, oh, that's not going to go.
Right. So, yeah, that's 151 North Riverside, and
yeah.
You know, that one wasn't just done to make a flourish. That is cut in at the base to respond to rail yards,
right?
And that led to some pretty extreme engineering to make what you see. It looks like a teetering building, but is as safe as any big, boring square project in Chicago.
Not to be flip about it, but when you design a building like that, or the one that you're working on here, don't you worry that if we are wrong or if something happens that we don't anticipate, it could be catastrophic? Will you just talk me off that mental ledge I'm on about this sort of thing?
Well, you know, we think about that every single day. You know, there's a lot of different professions with their highly important decision-making process. But for us, you know, we think about life safety and the population and the occupants of the building. And, you know, that's at the forefront of our mind. It's not just creating architectural expression. It's the safety for the occupants. It's many factors, but that's at the forefront.
Well, will this Vista building still sway? Is that the biggest concern when you're doing a super tall building, is the sway?
That's right. In Chicago's windy environment, you look at many of the very tall buildings out there, 400, 500, 600 feet, and they're a big sail. The wind blows on it, and they want to lean, and when we design those projects, the structure primarily is making them strong enough so that they're not falling over, obviously. Now, when we get up three times as tall with Vista Tower, there's other things that layer on top of it, right? So it's the sway that you've referred to, and it's, you know, it's maybe counterintuitive, but let's say out of the clouds, the hand of God grabbed the top of a building and pulled it several feet to the side and let go. It's going to sway back and forth with its own natural rhythm.
Boing, 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 like that.
Right. More like every 6, 7, 8 seconds. It takes a while for a very tall building to sway back and forth. But those are the motions that can make people feel uncomfortable. Even though it can still be very safe, people don't like to be in those spaces during a big storm. So things like the blow-through floor and the water sloshing dampers, those are put in to slow down how it sways, damp out how it moves, so people can still be laying in bed, reading a book, even in a big storm and not feel like they're in an unsafe condition.
Even if it were swaying, they would be safe. They wouldn't like that. So you have to not only make it safe, but you have to make it comfortable. Do you do something like this? You say, okay, we're 100 stories tall. We're 1,100 feet in the air. Here's the span of the thing. How much force would a 100-mile-an-hour wind put on that? And then what would that do to the steel and concrete at the bottom? And would we worry that something would buckle as a result? I mean, do you have a formula or a computer that figures all of that stuff out?
Yeah, many, many things, including what you talk about. We have computer models. We have our engineers doing hand calculations to verify our computer models. We have other experts who do wind tunnel tests, and they build a scale model of the building. They actually physically blow wind across it in a tunnel and measure how it responds, and that informs our design. And but you're getting at is exactly what we spend years doing before it gets built.
And I wonder, too, Elif says we need to take a break. The number is 312-981-7200. One of the engineers on this beautiful Genie Gang building, it's called the Vista Tower, and it's like a stone's throw from where we broadcast on the Chicago River downtown. David Fields is on a phone line. Let's pause here. We'll continue the conversation in a second. You may have a question or comment, too, or maybe some advice, because I'm sure David would like us to tell him how to do his job. 312-981-7200. This is WGN. We're talking to one of the principal engineers in the Vista Tower, the beautiful new building next to ours, essentially, here at WGN Radio on the south side of the Chicago River, very near Lake Michigan. The wavy front and surface of it, it's all the way around, is a sort of nice representation of the water and the waves all around us in Chicago. So David Fields is just answering a few questions about how that building happens. By the way, David, you said that you folks were working on this for 10 years, right?
That's right. You know, the early days, it's sitting in a room with some thick markers, drawing ideas to, you know, progress, jump ahead quite a ways, and it's computer models and getting down to the final details.
I wonder how radically different it is now versus what the original idea was, or were there some ideas that came up in that process and you said, yeah, that's cool, but we can't do that?
Yeah, there weren't too many can't do it. It was more bold ideas are on the table. Everyone discusses what it would take, and then it kind of organically coalesces into a vision that is not exactly where it started, but the concepts and the goals is where it started. You know, I'll point out one that we haven't discussed here today. It's a very tall building. Naturally, the eye looks up in the sky, you see the waves, and you see the alternating rhythms of the skin. But actually, the ground plane was very important to the design. It's when you look at it, you see kind of three primary towers merged together. When you look closer at Wacker Drive, the middle of the three, it's a bit of a portal. And it's intentionally, we kept the structure out of that area, and architecturally they opened up a great number of things. The new Riverwalk and Upper Wacker, the connection actually goes through the building into Lakeshore East neighborhood and further to Millennium Park. That was a important piece of this, the vision for the project that Genie Gang had, that when you walk out there today, look up and enjoy the building, but when it's done and you can walk through it and get close to the building, that's something else I'd ask people to pay attention to.
Yeah, no kidding. And the sort of thing that might make a layman nervous, like, oh, you need way more stuff, dude.
Yep.
It's fascinating. And by the way, so will the old Sears Tower be the tallest building? And then is this going to be second? Or can you give me the hierarchy of building heights in Chicago when this thing's done?
Sure. So there's lots of technical definitions that juries and groups put official listings online. And so at the end of the day, through those organizations, this will be the third. And, you know, it's very sensitive to who sticks a big spire on top of their building, right? There's a great number that have them in Chicago. This one does not. This one has a narrow top, but it's the top of the building. So it will be 1,190 feet. It will be number three. But I believe, you know, and that's, of course, Willis Sears number one. I believe without the spire on Trump Tower, Vista has the highest occupied floor or the highest occupied residential for. So it's kind of right in that part of the skyline.
It said in Blair Kamen's piece, the first 11 floors will contain a hotel. Then there'll be 396 condos on floors 13 through 93. And they also mentioned this one floor, which sounds pretty awesome. It says here, the roof of Vista's middle tier doubles as an 8,000-square-foot outdoor deck for a 71st-floor penthouse in the building's top tier. It'll be outfitted with an infinity pool and all that fancy stuff. Will there be a restaurant or a public space outside of the hotel that the rest of us could use this building?
You know, I can't speak too specifically to all of the hotel uses. You know, it is obviously there's dining spaces, and whether those are strictly reserved for the hotel occupants or outside folks can come in, I couldn't honestly tell you.
Yeah, I would love it if there was a rooftop lounge, bar, restaurant on the very top of this sucker. Or would it be too windy up there? That wouldn't make any sense.
You know, it would be. That's the sort of space that when it's built on a building, it is done with operable windows and roofs so that you can really enjoy it when the weather's right, and you can close it up and still see the view when the weather's wrong. Those tend to be somewhat rare simply because of the occupant load of getting people up and down with extra elevators and perhaps extra stairs for fire exit tends to make them not so popular.
Mary Ellen had a question. Hey, Mary Ellen, we're almost out of time, but real quick, you had a question that may be on some people's minds. What was it?
Oh, I think it's so interesting, all the unique aspects of this building, but I was wondering, are they taking into account, you know, the glass being so reflective causing a lot of injury to the birds? Have they made any changes to the exterior concerning that?
What about that, David?
You know, not something I've been real close to, but from sitting in rooms and hearing people discuss it, my understanding is that was directly considered, and the reflectivity is far less than other buildings when you look around the city. For that reason and as well as some other reasons. I think Blair's article addressed that to some degree. You know, the skin of the building is interesting that as the tiers, or we call them frustums, slope in and out on the tower, the glass color modulates, and that's for some intentional purposes so that the bigger floor plates with deeper units get more light in them, and the smaller floors with shallower units don't pick up as much heat during the summer.
When I've been in some of those interiors and some of the tall buildings like that, they're lovely and they're cool, but they get hot. Do you know what I mean? And is that are you all able to mitigate that? Does this less reflective window surface help that?
Yeah, I mean, the selection of the glass on the building is as much as anything, probably certainly more than anything. It has to do with controlling how much heat, how much cold gets exchanged from the outside to the inside. But of course, that's just one component of it. You know, what is the heating unit? What's the air conditioning unit? How that functions? It all works hand in hand. And, you know, a building that will be effectively open for business in 2020 is, you know, it will have the state of the art in terms of occupant comfort and heating and cooling.
Yeah. Thanks for the call, Mary Ellen. I wish we had more time. And, you know, maybe you're not in Chicago right now, David, but when you come through town, grab me. I'm just across the way, and give me a tour of what you got there when you got it, okay?
Absolutely will, John.
I appreciate your time today. Congratulations, and good luck to the entire team.
All right. Thanks for having me on. It's been a pleasure.
Yeah, it's David Fields. He's one of the principal engineers on Jeannie Gang's Vista Tower.
Jesus walked. Jesus walked.
Thank you, Steve.
Jesus walked with me. Jesus walked.
Obviously not a studio recording here. Producer Elif, what are you sampling?
So this was from yesterday's Sunday service by Kanye West. This is Jesus Walks Live.
This is the thing at Northerly Island, right?
Mm-hmm.
I'm reading about that in the Sun-Times today, too. It was free, but you had to have a ticket. So a free Kanye West ticket thing. I mean, really, what is it? Is it a... Is it a church service? Is it a concert?
I want Jesus.
Thousands were drawn to Northerly Island Sunday.
To walk with with me.
Chance the Rapper was there. Rhymefest was there. Reverend Jesse Jackson appeared with him at another place Sunday as he... He's been doing this thing now. This is the third one I know of. He did one in Ohio. He did one at Coachella where he does a kind of a church service, right?
Yeah. Lots of gospel music.
Which is in line, I think, with the music that Kanye does at times. Just looking at the details in the Sun-Times about this. West spent much of his performance dancing on stage while gripping what appeared to be a Bible. I don't know, do you know, did he actually preach? Did he talk or did he just do a sort of religious-themed show?
I don't know, but I think our guest can answer that.
I think I know who knows. Rhymefest and Marsha Lyles are on different phone lines. We'll start with Rhymefest, who's been on this show and this station many times before and I guess helped put this thing together. Rhymefest, you're on WGN again. How are you?
I'm great. How are you doing?
Good. Good to hear your voice. Answer that question for us. What did Kanye just sing, or did you all do more than that? Was there some sort of sermon or something?
Well, you know, I'm actually joining you live. I'm on his ranch right now. I was getting ready to go doom buggy riding. We're writing music, preparing to release the new album. But the the Sunday service, you know, I tell everybody, you know, we have an organization called Art of Culture where we do we cultivate young artists in the city. And, you know, Kanye so graciously donated 200 tickets to the community, to the South Side. So the Gary Comer Youth Center Champs Mentoring Organization and Art of Culture, we took 200 young people yesterday, and I told them this. If you are going to man worship, if you're going to Kanye worship, or if you think you're going to a concert, you're going to be sorely disappointed. This is more of a gospel vibration. He's not preaching. It's not like ministers saying, you know, this is what God wants you to do. It's more of a celebration of gospel music with Kanye in the middle. So when you look at historically, you know, we look at Kanye as this guy with this big ego. This part of his journey is him putting the ego behind and giving God the glory through music.
Jesus, his new CD is going to be called Jesus is King, right?
Yes.
Have you heard that?
Well, yeah, we're here working on it now.
I know you've worked with him in the past. You've got a Grammy, for that matter, but I didn't know how intimately involved in this latest work you were. So do you have credits on the new CD or the new album coming out?
Well, I should. If anything that I write should happen to make it, then yes, we shall see. You know, it's a process of just, you know, writing a ton of songs and picking the best ones to actually make the cut. So, you know, we pray that Rhymefest makes the cut for this project as well, you know.
I think you know Marsha Lyles, who's worked with us here at WGN Radio and has a podcast called Shypedia. She used to visit with me all the time on Fridays on my show, and Marsha's on the phone. Marsha, you were at that performance or show too, weren't you?
Yes, I
Marsha
was.
Came with us.
And actually,
with
it was The Bright Side. I saw you every Friday, so yes.
What was the show? What was the show like, Marsha?
I would say it was an experience. It was an experience out of this world because you saw many people unify of different backgrounds, different cultures, and just enjoying spiritual hymns and just, you know, songs that we're all familiar with from Kanye. It was, I would identify as an experience.
Yeah. You know, it's funny, though, because I believe everything you guys said, and I'm a Kanye fan. But Kanye, you mentioned his ego, Rhymefest, and I, you know, is it fashion? Is it apparel? Is it... some of his crazy statements that he's made, and I was wondering if this is just the latest version of Kanye doing something to draw attention to himself, or is this Kanye really trying to have a spiritual, religious experience with people? You know what I mean?
Well, you know, this is the thing. If you're not authentic, you can't pull this off for as long and as many people as he's been pulling this off. And I would also say that, you know, for it to be, when people pull stunts, the mask is ripped off of that really quickly. And the way we can see the genuineness of this movement that he's doing, this evolution of spirituality of Kanye West, I mean, you got to admit, the man's been through a hell of a lot. And he's been through so much that it would make one find God.
Why is he doing this? We know, why is he doing this, would you say?
Kanye's turned his life over to God. He's turned his life over. This is the direction he wants to go. And if you look at Sunday service, he puts himself in the back and puts the choir out front. There was one moment during the show Sunday where he totally left the stage and let the choir sing and told the people, look forward and give glory to God, not to me. Hmm. And the choir kept singing, and then he returned. So this is where his spirit is now,
mm-hmm.
and this is why I'm here, because I wouldn't be part of anything less than that.
What was the highlight for you, Marcia?
You know, just the experience of just seeing so many people. And at one point, I did notice, like, Kanye had his head down. I'm not sure if he was, you know, in that moment, if he was crying or whatever, but you can really tell that he's really getting to the root of his life. He's going back to his roots. And I'm just grateful that I was able to have the opportunity to be there. And shout out and Ryan Fest and the Art of Culture, because I was able to join his organization and experience it.
Mm. You know, the last we heard from him seemed to be his taking meetings with the president, and that was a little jarring for people. Do you think this is some sort of reset for him relative to that, or do these two storylines not intersect in any way at all?
I don't believe the storylines intersect, because this is not politics, you know, and it's not a play for any kind of votes, or it's not even a play for buy my album. I mean, look, he's doing this Sunday service and doesn't have any product out in the market right now. So, you know, I think that that's something that politics aside, people have to decide for themselves if the spirituality is more important or, you know, more important to them than their political feelings about it.
Yeah, and I would like to add, the fact that you had so many people here, and when you first enter the area, you're expecting possibly everyone to be on stage performing, but it was not that. And if I had to guess, if you think like Kanye, it's not about what you're seeing. I want you to experience what you're listening to. We're here for a reason, and it's not just for the photos or the social media. This is deeper than that.
I suppose so.
And you know, the proof of that is there were moments, about three moments, where Kanye walked through the crowd with no bodyguard. I mean, here you have thousands of people that would presumably rush him and attack him, and he just took his hands, and they have video and pictures of this out. Uh-huh. He took his two fingers and said, move, part, I need to get up front. And the crowd, like a sea, they just parted. And there was no bodyguard. There was nobody pushing them out of the way. It was just him walking through. And I think that that was a very amazing moment of the experience.
Marcia, you were about to say something?
Oh, no. I there were clips. Actually, the one where he says, and I may be paraphrasing, that this is my city. You know, he told one of the security guards to step back, I guess because he was shoving and pushing people out of the way. And Kanye said, no, hey, you know what? Pretty much, I got this.
Hmm. He's not an ordained minister, right? Like, it's not like he's presenting himself as a pastor per se, is he?
Oh, no.
He's not. But what's interesting is that his father is. So he comes from a spiritual background, and his mom, who was my mentor, Dr. Donda West, spent a good amount of time working for Reverend Jackson in Operation Push. So he does have Christian spiritual roots.
You know, listen, I'm not going to doubt anything you guys said because, like I said earlier, I'm a fan. But he's been confounding to some of us before. So I think some of us are listening to this wondering, does he have a Jesus complex of his own? What exactly is going on here? And this will probably help sales of his next album, even if, like you said, Rhymefest, there's no product available. I guess my point is he may be sincere about his intention to just bring Jesus to people. But I think there are some people kind of saying, okay, let's see what happens. They're waiting to decide how authentic this latest iteration of Kanye West is. You know what I'm saying?
You know, I'd say two things about that. Number one, that's for people to decide, and everyone will have to make a decision for themselves. But number two, it's better than somebody who's selling us crap. You know what I mean? there's a lot of people. There's a lot of people who straight up sell us BS. You know, and don't try to put any kind of, you know, this is something to make your soul better, that you can go through your day or through your week, and these hymns can make you feel better, and you can play them in the car in front of your children. You know, there are a lot of people just selling straight up crap, and we never question them. So as we move forward, we just want to, you know, give everyone the benefit of the doubt, you know what I mean, yep. And grab what's good for us.
Say hi to him if he asks about me, Rhymefest. Tell him that, you know.
I know he remembers you.
I did interview him once. I know he doesn't, but what a pleasure. Nice to hear you, Rhymefest. And, Marcia, come through the studio again sometime. Sit down and say hello to us, okay?
I'll see you Wednesday, John.
Good. Thank you both.
Thank you.
Take it easy.
All right. Bye now. Anna DeVlantis, what's going on?
Hi there, John.
Hey.
Enjoyed your chat with Rhymefest.
I did, too. I really liked talking to him, but I just knew that that was going to rub some people wrong mm-hmm. because Kanye's just such an egoist. Even
right.
if I haven't heard this new CD, maybe it's going to be great. Maybe it's just, maybe this is all a ploy and he doesn't have a religious bone in his body. I don't believe that. I think he actually has all of those things. But a lot of people weren't buying it. I'll just say that.
Yeah. I think he's incredibly spiritual. I think he really, really is.
I think he can be both. I think he can be very spiritual and you can be the world's greatest egoist. And I think this spiritual album, these services that he's putting on across the country, I think may come from the heart, but I also know they're going to help sales of his latest CD.
Yes.
Great for marketing, for sure.
Yeah, right.
Well, they announced the tickets on Saturday morning,
right.
And they initially wanted 20,000. Chicago officials said you can't do 20,000 on one day's notice. Not allowed. They let him do 9,000, and he filled it with 9,000 people. It was a chance, too. I mean, that certainly helped. But.
And then quickly, the aftermarket evolved. Like, people were paying several hundred dollars for one of these tickets.
Well, that explains it. Somebody said if it's $200, I don't think that's free. That was the secondary market?
Yes,
that's what
it
people
was free.
Selling their own.
Wow.
I don't think he charged.
No, it was free.
No, free.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, then. So the parishioners, if you will, were cashing in.
Yes.
But he was not.
Yeah.
Somebody's cashing in.
I don't know. That doesn't seem particularly Christian. I don't know.
No.
All I know is that
God wouldn't be happy with that.
That he's nuts. He's a great artist.
That's
and
the
he's
thing. He's cuckoo
and he's
bananas.
Nuts.
Absolutely.
Yeah, but it's okay. Some of the best artists are nuts. You know, that's, you know, what are we to make from that? It just, he's, and, you know, he's all over the place. He's, you know, super religious. He loves Donald Trump. There's a great, for people who have not seen the Dave Chappelle most recent Netflix.
Yeah.
Especially he works that somehow into Jussie Smollett in a very funny way.
Jussie Smollett.
Jussie Smollett. Yeah, the French artist. And But, you know, I like that out of my artists. That's fine. I get to choose whether or not I want to consume the artist. I don't like it when the leaders of the free world are like that. That's my issue.
Well, on that happy note, I suspect you'll go there soon enough. I'll get out of your way.
Thank you very much.
Have a good show.